This morning's sermon is called Feeding the 5,000 from John chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. As we continue our journey through this amazing gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Chapter 6, a new chapter for us. This is a long, powerful chapter. 70 verses with a lot of meaning. We'll probably spend the next 2 months right here in this chapter. So if you're in a hurry, you may want to check out Third Baptist. Just kidding. Going through the Bible isn't a race. It's important that we go slow and hear God's word speak to us. Amen? It's better to hear God's voice in the scriptures than to read fast. Jesus has a lot to say in this chapter, and he wants us to clearly understand exactly what he's telling us. I want you to keep in mind that the purpose of the Apostle John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. That's the theme of this book. This is why the gospel, this is why the Apostle John writes this gospel. He wants you to know this. And by believing in him, you can have eternal life in his name. Feeding the 5,000 is one of Jesus' famous miracles. It is the only miracle in all four Gospels. Matthew recorded this, Mark recorded this, Luke recorded this, as well as John. The only miracle in all four Gospels. Matthew recorded in his Gospel that there were 5,000 people along with women and children, which makes sense to me. Where there's men, there's women, and where there's men and women, there's lots of children, right? So that makes a lot of sense to me. He wrote that in his gospel, and I believe that is probably true, right? Jesus probably fed more like 15,000 people on this day, not 5,000, maybe even more, maybe 20,000. When you add up 5,000 men plus women plus children, it's a lot of people. I just want to set the scene with you before we start this chapter. After Jesus left Jerusalem in chapter 5, he headed up to the Sea of Galilee, which was about 70 miles from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee. He went to the northern part in the Bethsaida area to the Galileans. So it may have been 100 miles that they walked. So after he left Jerusalem, in chapter 5, he walked with his disciples and any others that were following him, probably close to 100 miles, as he's preaching and healing people as he makes his way into the Sea of Galilee. He continued to preach about repentance. He continued to preach about the kingdom of God. And as he was doing it, Jesus was healing many people as he made his trip up to the Sea of Galilee. So that's where we are right now in chapter 6. We're in the Sea of Galilee up by the northern part of Bethsaida. So let's go ahead. We'll take a look at verse 1 and 3. Verse 1 through 3, John wrote, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his signs and miracles, which Jesus performed on all those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples." A great multitude of people followed Jesus. Why? It says right here, because they saw the signs, the miracles which Jesus performed on those who were diseased. It's important for you to know that this great multitude of people, which is a lot of people, were not moved by Jesus' words. They were not moved by his preaching. They were moved by the miracles, the healings. Not because they were convicted of their sin and they saw him as their Savior. They didn't follow Jesus because they loved him. They followed him because they loved the miracles, which sets up the picture of chapter 6, as we're going to see in this chapter. Sadly, they wanted all the benefits that come with Christ, but not Christ. We see that today, right? Just like those back in chapter 2 at the end of the chapter in verse 23 and 25. Same type of people. We'll see in verses 26 and 27 of this chapter when we get there that Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you," which again means listen up, you need to know this, "you seek me," he said, "not because you saw the signs of me being Jesus, the Lord, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor," he says, "for food which perishes, but for the food which endures everlasting life," speaking of spiritually, "which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." So Jesus tells these same people down in this chapter this. In other words, he was telling these people, hey, don't follow me around for the free sandwiches. Follow me because I can give you eternal life, right? Don't follow me for the free food that perishes. Follow me because you believe in me and that I can save you. We'll see at the end of this chapter that most of his followers walked away from Jesus when he continued to preach about eternal things, which is in verse 66 at the ending of this chapter. It says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." The miracles were over. They weren't getting fed. There wasn't the healings going on. Jesus is preaching about sin and judgment and hell. And they're like, "This is too much for us. We're out of here." And they walked with him no more. They couldn't handle that. They loved the benefits. But when Jesus started talking about sin and repentance and judgment to come and a place of torment, which the Bible calls hell, they said, "This is where we're out of here." And it says, they walked with him no more. So let's pick up in verse 4 and 6. It says in verse 4, "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near." John wanted to let us know this springtime. This takes place in the springtime. Verse 5, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this Jesus said to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. As Jesus was on the mountain with his disciples, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the great multitude of people coming at him." These people, thousands of people coming to be healed. They want to see the miracles and they're coming. And he sees them and there's just a multitude, which means you can see people forever. They're just everywhere, thousands of people. Mark wrote in his gospel that when Jesus saw the great multitude of people, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Mark recorded, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Mark recorded that in his gospel. Jesus knew what was in their heart. He knew it wasn't him, but it didn't stop him from healing them and continuing to preach about the kingdom of God. It didn't stop him. He continued to heal. He was compassionate. He saw these people as a sheep without a shepherd. And he continued to preach to them, continue to preach to them, hoping it would get through to them. He looked at them like sheep without a shepherd. Do you know sheep are the most dependent animals? Without a shepherd, they'll get lost. They will run off cliffs and die without a shepherd. They're the most dependent animals. They will walk right up to a wolf and say, "Hey, you're a wolf. I'm a sheep." Lunch. Not good. Not good. Jesus refers to us as sheep. That's how dependent we are on Him, amen? I'm not going to get through this life without Jesus Christ. You can try, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to hit a lot of potholes without Jesus in your life. It says that Jesus said this to Philip to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus tests Philip's faith and trust, just like he does to you and me. The Bible says that God will test the faith and trust in His believers. You say you believe in me, you say you trust in me. Well, let's find out when tough time comes. Are you gonna run to me, Jesus says, or are you going to run away from me? You could test your faith. You will test our faith, just like He did Philip right here. Now, what's interesting about this as I read this, Philip was from Bethsaida, the same area that they're in. And Jesus said, "Where can we buy some bread that we may eat?" In other words, "Hey, Philip, you're from this area. Any local bakeries around here?" I can see Philip now scratching his head saying, "Where am I going to buy enough bread for 15,000 people, Lord?" Let's take a look at verses 7 through 9. Philip answered Jesus. Here's Philip's response. Jesus is testing him. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." Now, a denarii is one day's pay. So this is probably 8-9 months worth of pay. That's how many people are there. And Philip said, "Hey, we got 200 denarii. That ain't going to feed all these people, Lord." One of his disciples after that, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Now, a couple of pieces of bread or crackers with pickled sardines was very common during these days for a lunch. It's not that he had 2 fish, live fish hanging out of his pocket, like Bruce when he goes fishing. These are pickled sardines. They would have been pickled in a jar, put in your pocket, and you got some crackers or some bread. It was very common in these days to do that for lunch and dinner. Now, his disciples, they have been with Jesus for 2 years now at this point. They've witnessed all the miracles, and instead of them saying, "Lord, you can do all things, Lord. I'm sure you can provide dinner for 15,000 people. We've seen it all." But no. They start figuring out what they can do. Instead, Philip says, "Lord, we don't have enough money. We got 200 denarii." Andrew steps in. "Hey, Lord, I found a lad over here, a little boy. He's got 5 pieces of bread and some pickled sardines." I want you to know that all of his disciples wanted Jesus to send these people away. They became a nuisance to Jesus and to them. Not to Jesus, but to them. I want to share with you what Matthew wrote. It's not on the wall. I'll just read it to you. It's in Matthew 14:15. If you want to read it later, it says that Matthew wrote, "When it was evening..." Now, Jesus had been healing all day. It's evening time. These people are getting on their nerves. Let's send them away, Lord. We only got 200 denarii. You know, I got this lad, this little boy over here with some bread and fish. He said, it says, when it was evening, his disciples, not just Matthew, came to Jesus saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is late. Send the multitudes away. Send them away, Lord, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. Mark wrote in Mark 6:35 and 36, he said, when the day was now far spent, Jesus' disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy bread for themselves, for they have nothing to eat, Lord. Send them away. Get them out of here, Lord. Luke wrote in his gospel, when the day began to wear away, late in the evening, the 12 came and said to Jesus, send the multitudes away. Get rid of these people, Lord. They're really getting on our nerves. They keep asking for food and healings. That's in Luke 9:12. So not enough money, not enough food to share. They're in the middle of nowhere. No bakeries, no market basket, no Dunkin' Donuts. They're in an impossible situation. Not with Jesus. We got 15,000 hungry people, 12 concerned apostles, and a young boy with a small lunch, and a Savior with unlimited power. Something good's going to come out of this. I can see Jesus now saying, fellas, get ready. You guys are going to be waiters. Let's take a look at verse 10 and 11. It says, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Let's just stop here for 1 minute. Lord, send them away. Lord, send them away. Lord, send them away. All 12. Jesus says, sit them down. Tell them to sit down. You're going to witness something, boys, you have never seen since we started. I'm going to feed these 15, 20,000 people right before your eyes. It says, now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in a number of 5,000. Remember, men, 5,000. We got women and children here too. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, I want you to remember that, when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish. And look at the ending. As much as they wanted. As much food as they wanted. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, sit them down. No one's going anywhere. I love that. God is always providing, especially when the situation looks impossible. Have you been there? Have you hit rock bottom? This just looks like an impossible situation. There's no way out. And God says, yes, there is. You see what Jesus is saying to us right here in this passage this morning? What may seem impossible to you is no big deal for Jesus Christ. You need to remember that. What seems impossible to you is no big deal for Jesus if you believe. If you believe. They were scratching their heads. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do now? All these people. What are we going to do, Lord? Hey, we do the same thing. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? We forget to add Jesus into the equation. Have you been there? What am I going to do? We forget to add Jesus into the equation. We all do it. Jesus is the master of situations. I want you to know that. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He said it right there. He did it just to test Philip. I already know, Philip. These guys are going to eat so much food today, they're going to be stuffed. But I want to test you to see if you have faith in me that I can provide. That's why he's doing. That's what he's telling us right here in the scripture. If you're in a situation and you do not know what you're going to do, go to the one who can handle it for you. Don't try to handle it on your own. You're going to hit a wall every time. Let Jesus work out your situation. What may seem impossible to us is nothing for Jesus. It's nothing. Can you imagine 15, 20,000 people there starving, end of the day? You probably would have said, I don't know how we're going to figure this one out. You said, I know. There's nothing for me. I'll feed everybody. If we do not figure God into the equation and realize that all things are possible with Him, we're going to struggle all throughout life and worry about things. Period. If you don't realize that I'm going to add Jesus into this situation, it's going to change if I get Him involved instead of me trying to figure it out. If we don't do this, I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to live the most stressful life. You're going to be worried about things all the time if Jesus isn't involved. Amen? If He's not in it, you're going to stress out all day. We need to remember this. When we are not capable, He is. He is. We need to remember this. And verse 11 says that Jesus gave thanks to the Father for supplying the food. He gives the glory back to the Father. Love it. Right? You know what Jesus is doing right here? I want you to know this. Jesus is setting the example for us to thank God for supplying your meals. Jesus thanked the Father. Thank you for supplying the food. Set an example to His disciples, all the people, and to us in the Word to be thankful for your food. I don't know about you, but whenever I thank the Lord for the food, it always tastes better. I don't know why, but it does. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that this was the best bread they've ever tasted. Right? This isn't day-old bread. Okay, a five-day-old bread. Right? This is bread from heaven. Bread from the Lord, right? No chemicals, no mold, no dyes. This is perfect bread. And all you can eat. It's like our potluck past Friday. All you can eat. Right? And the freshest fish they've ever tasted. Because it came straight from the Lord. Let's take a look at verse 12 and 13. Look at this right here in verse 12. So they were filled. They were filled. Jesus said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost. Keep the leftovers. Don't let them go to waste. Verse 13, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. When God provides, you'll have more than you can even eat. 12 baskets of leftovers. We got 15, 20,000 people here, and we got 12 baskets of leftovers. Can you imagine? This young boy that showed up probably went back to his parents and said, I showed up with one lunch and got 50. Got 50 lunches. Jesus was there. Jesus feeds 5,000 women, 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, probably 15,000 people. There were so many witnesses that this has never been proven to not be true. It's never been proven to not be true. There was that many witnesses. Not only did they witness the miracle, they ate of it. They ate of the miracle. Nothing is impossible for Jesus. Verse 12 says they were filled. I just want you to know that filled means stuffed. Okay? And in Greek, filled means gluttoned. They were gluttoned. They ate so much they couldn't move. They were gluttoned. They were so stuffed they couldn't even finish it all. All you can eat. You see what happens when God shows up, right? Good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen when Jesus is involved, right? Romans 8:28, I think of that all the time. And we know that all things work good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Paul wrote, and we know. He didn't write, we think. He said, we know that all things work out good to those who love God. So your situation you're in that seems impossible, if you trust in Christ, something good's going to come out of it. If you walk with Jesus, he's going to turn, something good's going to come out of this. That's exactly what he's telling us. Verse 13 says, right, that the 12 baskets of leftovers. This is interesting. We got 12 baskets of leftovers. Who gets the leftovers? The 12 waiters. The 12 disciples. That's who gets the leftovers. Hey, boys, you done now working? You got 12 baskets here? One for each of you. Why? As a sign that all things are possible with me. I want you to carry that basket of food to the next place we're going as a reminder that all things are possible with me. When the situation looks, there's no way out. Jesus says, oh yeah, there is. Now go grab your basket, grab your food, and follow me. Isn't it something how there was, you ever think about that when you're reading this passage? How all that food, we got 12 waiters, 12 apostles, there just happens to be 12 baskets left over. You ever thought of that? And 13, and 8. There's a reason why that's in the Word. Because there was 12 waiters that day helping the people, assisting Jesus. And they each got a basket of food after it, all 12. And mainly because Jesus wanted to remind them when Philip was adding up his calculator, trying to figure out how they were going to feed him. We only got 200 denarii. I don't know. He forgot to add in plus Jesus. And Andrew goes and gets some little boy in the crowd, says, talks him into giving up his lunch. They're all spinning. And Jesus provides his 12 baskets left over to remind them, hey, fellas, nothing's impossible with me, says the Lord. So pick up your basket. You get the leftovers and follow me. I would have loved to have been there. Oh. I just would have loved that. Basket for each one of the waiters. Let's look at our final verse before we take communion. Verse 14. It says, and those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. We've witnessed it all. This is the prophecy of Moses. Deuteronomy 18:15, the great prophet to come, symbolizing Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy on that day when he came. I want to end with this before we take communion. I want you to think about this, and I want you to get this out of this message. When things seem impossible for you, it's no big deal for Jesus. No big deal for Jesus. I want you to know that. When you're down and out and you just got a bad report of your health, or you're sick, and it just looks like there's no way out, remember, it's no big deal for Jesus if he's involved. When things seem impossible, I want you to know this. When things seem impossible, I want you to know you serve a mighty God. And he is just waiting on you to call upon him to deliver you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your word, Lord, for opening our hearts and our minds to your word, the significance of your word to us, Lord, that all things are possible with you. Thank you for reminding us of this, Lord, and thank you for reminding us that we serve a mighty God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.